I'm so glad to be here this morning. And how many of you were like Thomas? I think the majority, myself, if I was to picture myself in that situation, this is something that had never happened before. And so I would be like, I'm not so sure if this can happen. And the reality is that you're dealing with a set of disciples who, the night before he was crucified, they had all said, look, we're going to be with you, X, Y, Z. And then they denied him, and they all scattered. And what we can see in that picture is all hope is gone. And the funny thing is that as you read through the different Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it just seems that there was maybe the disciple that loved Jesus, but it was the women. It was the women that somehow something struck him. Those women that were always with the Lord, that they, the day he died, they had prepared the spices. They went and bought some spices to, you know, to rub on his body, you know. And I wonder, where were the men? And I'm not here to pit men against women today. But it was interesting for me to understand that there is something very powerful when women begin to say or begin to take a stand. To take a stand for their families, to take a stand for their children, because all of a sudden, things begin to happen. And so we can see this lady, full of faith, she goes to check things out. And as she arrives, she gets the surprise of her life. You know, and sometimes our lives can be like a Good Friday, you know, where things are just not working well. But I think there's always an opportunity, there's always hope that there will be a resurrection that will come in our lives, you know. And so this is a day where we should all be glad that the Lord rose again. And so if you're with me and you're very glad that the Lord rose again, I would just like us to give a shout to the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you, Lord, that we can come together in your house and celebrate what you did for us on the cross, and how significant it was in our lives. I thank you, Lord God, from the different paths that you have brought us from this morning. And that, Lord, as we gather here, Lord God, we would just encounter you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes, of course, you know, my name is Stephen Magwenzi, and I'm a pastor down at Wellard, but I'm the executive pastor of both Wellard and Fremantle. And, you know, Wellard is having a potluck lunch after the service, you know. But, and so they send their greetings. Who enjoyed the service on Friday? Yeah. You know, everybody bought their cards, wrote in, and put them in the basket. Now, those cards are going to be shredded, by the way. You know, so I just thought I would emphasize that the cards will be shredded. But our brother Andrew Baker spoke on Friday morning. And as he spoke, he says that, you know, with all these things that have happened with Christ being crucified, how do we respond? You know? And that question, as it came up on the screen, what is the response we're supposed to have? You know, and I thought, wow, you know, that is a nice point to linger at, you know. And I was thinking for myself, and what we were saying is that this whole weekend is a weekend where we can reflect on what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, but also it's an opportunity for us to recalibrate our lives so that we can then begin to be in line with what God wants for our lives. It's an opportunity for us to, you know, sometimes things can go out of line, but this is a time, this whole weekend is about alignment with God and what he wants for your life. And most importantly, you have to understand is that God has given you. God came and he gave us so that we could have, you know, an abundant life, so we could have an eternal life. And this morning, I guess I've titled this message, Significance. And because I believe that the resurrection itself is a significant event, and we know that across the world today, People are celebrating this day. Churches all over the world, you know, are shouting and very happy that this is the day that the Lord Jesus Christ, because if he didn't rise, well, none of us would be here. If he didn't rise, I mean, you could be here, but maybe you'd be by yourself, because I certainly wouldn't be here. And so, why is it significant? What is the significance about the resurrection? And this morning, I guess the significance about resurrection is that it's about remembering what Christ has done for us. And so when we come to today, we remember. You know, it says in Luke 24, verse 2 and then 4 to 8, I read, they found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. And as they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He's risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day. Then they remembered that he had said this. In John 20, the account of John is that then Simon Peter arrived, and that was Peter arriving there, and went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' wound was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For up until then, they still hadn't understood the scriptures that said, Jesus must rise from the dead. And so why is remembering important? You see, because when you remember, it causes you to take action. And so all of a sudden, when these guys recognize that this man had said that he was going to die, and on the third day he was going to come back to life, it said that they believed. And so as you come to this day and as you reflect back, you recognize and say, you know what? I am going to believe. You cannot come to this day and then just be blasé about it. It's going to cause an action to take place in your life to say, I need to do something. I need to recalibrate. I need to bring everything back into alignment with what God wants for my life. Because you see, this remembrance leads to belief, and the belief then leads to action, which then leads to us living a changed life. And the reason why I guess this day is significant again, because his death and resurrection was sufficient for the forgiveness of our sins. You know, in 1 Corinthians verse 15, 3 to 4, we'll go through a few scriptures this morning, 14 to 8, it says, I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless and your faith is useless. And we apostles would be lying about God, for we have said that God raised Christ from the grave. But that can't be true if there's no resurrection of the dead. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you're still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. His death and resurrection were significant because they were sufficient for the forgiveness of our sins. And that is really such an important thing, is that it was a one-time and for all deal. Back in the days in the Old Testament, every year they would bring bulls and goats that had to be sacrificed so people's sins would be forgiven. But this was a once-for-all transaction. When he died, when he rose, it was sufficient enough. There was no more need to be bringing bulls and goats to sacrifice for the forgiveness and the remission of sins. Amen? Amen. You are allowed to be a bit happy if you want to be. The reason why today his resurrection is significant is because it guaranteed our future. You see, that we would, even if we were to die, we would not fully die. Because we are guaranteed of life after death. You see, it says that in 1 Corinthians 15, 20 to 22, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He's the first of a great harvest of all who have died. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. You see, that guarantee that if we die because he's risen, we can be assured that when we die, we would also be raised up. And I just think that that is such a significant thing, that there is a guarantee because of what Christ did, his death and his resurrection, that there's a guarantee for both you and I that when if we're to die, we will taste eternal life. And I think if there's anything you can be happy about is that there will come a time where we will die, but we know that we're going to be going home to where our Savior is. And I think that's a really good thing. What Christ did for us on that cross and that tomb being empty just changed everything. On Friday, you saw that the veil was torn from top to bottom and that relationship was restored. You know, relationship was restored. But it was important for him to die and to be resurrected again, because now he is saying that I have power over death, because that is the one thing that men and women were always afraid of, dying. But what Christ did is that he guaranteed that, you know what, I've been there, I've done that, and you know what, I have defeated death. And because he's defeated death, we too will defeat death. Amen. Why this day is significant, why the resurrection is significant, is because the same power, you know, the same power, it says in Ephesians 1 verse 18 to 20, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called his holy people, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand, even in the heavenly realms. And so the same power that raised him up resides within us. And the good thing you see is that we, for some people here, would have experienced their relationship with God, you know. But that same power and the significance of this resurrection is that that resurrection life resides within each and every one of us. And because it resides in each and every one of us, it's not just for us to keep. It's for us to take to the next person. It's for us to take to our workplace. It's for us to take to the playground, to the shopping center, and begin to say, the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in me, excuse me. Therefore, when I see a problem, I am not going to wait for somebody else to fix it. I am going to step in and say, Lord, because that same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in me, I am going to go and believe that somebody is going to be healed. The good thing about remembering what Christ has done is that the things that he has said is that greater things shall you do. He says, in fact, he says that even greater than this shall you do, because I've gone unto the Father. And now that, because the same power resides in us, it should stir within us this desire to say, God, I've got this power that's on the inside of me, and I want to use it. I don't want to just keep it for myself. That we have a constant supply of energy, that there is a life that is never ending that flows through us. And it's about you and I being convicted, you and I being convinced that, you know what? I have the authority to go to trample on snakes and scorpions, to bring to pass healing and just to set people free because of the words that I speak. You and I have got to be arrested by as we come on this Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, and recognize that this power that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. And therefore, it calls me to action, to not just, you know, be a superhero that keeps my hands in my pockets or just folds my hands. But I am going to be, it requires us to be active in our faith, to begin to say that where God has stationed you and I, that where he has placed us, that we would begin to take back power. We would begin to take authority in those places. It's not for you and I to hold back and just wish that somebody else, but for us to be convinced and convicted that, you know what, I have it within me. Because it's not your power. All you're doing is that you're tapping into the power. And you're saying to the person that is the source of the power to say, come and move. I am just a conduit for you to do what you need to do. You see, just like the radio frequencies are all around us now. They're going all through this room, you know. The only thing is that we just don't tap into them, you know. So if you're not tapped into the right frequency, it doesn't mean that the radio frequencies are not there. The radio waves are going all over this place, you know. They're going, they're moving around. The question is, are you going to tap in to that frequency? Are you going to tap into that frequency? And when you tap into that frequency, all of a sudden, there is connection. Once there is that connection, the source, you're just going to download from the source. And when you download from the source, you have to believe that God will do something. And I came this morning to tell us that there is a significance about this power, that it is not just for us, but it is for other people in the worlds that God has placed us. Because this year, our vision for 2021, the word that we have is that this will be the year of the power of relationships. And today is one of the days where we experience the power of relationship. Because of the power of the relationship between Jesus and God, we can tap into that. We have eternal life. We have forgiveness of sins. And in a little moment, there will be an opportunity that will be provided for those of you that have never made a decision to follow the Lord and to tap into the life that he has for you. And so why on this Resurrection Sunday? Why? What's another reason that it's a significant day? I really didn't want to say this, but it's time for the band to get back up. You have to understand that these disciples, when it was revealed to Peter that Jesus was the Messiah, the next thing he did was say that I am going to go to the cross and I'm going to be crucified. And then Peter then said, oh, now that's not going to happen, Lord, we're not going to allow that. And then he says, get thee behind me, Satan, because you work against the purposes of God, you know. And Jesus, when he began to tell his disciples all throughout the scriptures, he said to them, you know, the words that I underlined, he says that from then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, but on the third day, he would be raised from the dead. And so these guys, when they heard this, they were puzzled, they were afraid to say, this man that we've given up our lives for the last 3 years is telling us that he's going to die. I thought that, you know, there was going to be, you're going to come and we were going to take over and rule over the Romans because they were oppressing us. But that wasn't the Lord's way. That word necessary is that it needed to be done. You know, in Mark, he says that the Son of Man must suffer many terrible things. You know, And that is to be obliged. This is very important. I have to, you know, I have to suffer this. And he suffered it so that we can be in relationship with him. We can be in a relationship with him. We can experience the power of relationship where we have access to power. I don't know about you, but each time that I go to work, each time that you come into different situations, you recognize that I need a power that is greater than the power that I have. You know, you're faced with situations in your family where it seems that, you know, things are just going pear-shaped, that nothing is happening. All of a sudden, you recognize that I need a power. And this resurrection was just there to encourage us to say, there is something that is available for you. Are you going to tap into it? And so the day came where he was going to be crucified, and then he says that, you know, this is going to happen. And then Peter, being Peter, says, look, you know, we'll be with you to the end. And everybody says, yeah, we'll be with you, Lord. It's going to be great. And then he says, look, some of you are going to deny me. And this is what happened when he got crucified. Peter denied him. He kept saying, I don't know you, I don't know you. And when he was killed, hung on the cross, everybody scattered. And all the words that he had spoken, that he would be raised from the dead, in their minds, this is an apt that video we saw where they were sitting in there thinking, what the heck is going on? You know? But only that lady had, and a few others in this film, I guess, had the courage. And somehow there must have been a knowing belief that, you know what? Now, this is what I like about this woman, you know, is that somehow, Mary, somehow, there must have been something within her that was saying, this cannot be the end. And whatever situation you face, you know, you can be like the disciples sitting in those mud huts and thinking, this is the end. What's going to happen to us? We were bawling out of control when the Lord was alive. Everybody loved us. We were feeding so many people. What has happened to all of that? But as you saw in the clip, they believed. And that belief, all of a sudden, the things that he said came to light. And I think that there was an encouragement that came up to them. They started to feel greatly encouraged that, wow, you know what? Surely all the things that he said were correct. And the significance about this is that the resurrection is that it should cause you to trust. To trust that what the Lord has said for your life is going to happen, you know, because he said it. And because he said it, it means that everything that he ever said all of a sudden has got greater significance. And because it has greater significance, I am going to trust him. And when I trust him, I am going to align my life with his life. I'm going to say, Lord, I'm sick of doing it my own way. I'm going to trust in you. And so no matter how difficult things have been in your life, you can understand that because he was resurrected, you can trust him. Because the one thing I wrote down here is that he is who he says he is. Jesus is all that he said that he is. You know, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. This resurrection, I am the bread of life. Greater miracles shall you do because I've gone unto the Father. Then you shall trample on snakes and scorpions and not be hurt. That I have, because I've given you all authority, therefore go. That means you and I are imbued. That means that within us we've got this power that is just waiting for activation. But the first step is that I'm going to trust. And this morning, if I may ask you to be upstanding, We're going to go through a prayer this morning together. One of the things I love, you know, what Jesus said is that when he said that he'll be raised from the dead, you know, he says, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it, but if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but are destroyed or lost yourself? Must give up, must take up, must follow me. Because he is who he says he is, you can trust him this morning. That resurrection was proof that he had overcome death, that we too would overcome death in our lives. But also the trust is that whatever it is that you're going through in your life, you don't have to go through it alone, because he's there with you. And he wants to walk. He wants you to bring him into your situation so he can walk with you. We're going to say this prayer together. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. Today, Lord, on this Easter Sunday, I repent of all my sins. I take up my cross and I follow you. From this day forward, I will live for you. In Jesus' name.